Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I want to talk to you this morning really about one verse of Scripture out of this 10th chapter, but I want to take a moment or two to kind of set it up. And first of all, by beginning, I don't know, on Sundays like this, poetry always comes to view for me. So how many of you love poetry? Nobody. That's cool. Okay. you're going to get poetry anyway. I'm going to give it to you. It's called The Faithful Few. In every church, in every clime, when there's some work to do, it's very likely will be done by just a faithful few. While many folks will help to sing and some of them will talk, when it comes down to doing things, a lot of them will balk. We can't do this, we can't do that, excuse us please this time. We'd be so glad to help you out, but it's not in our line. So when a leader casts about to find someone who'll do, although he's done it oft before, he asks the faithful few. Of course they're very busy too, and always hard at work, but well he knows they'll not refuse nor any duty shirk. They never stop to make excuse, but very promptly try to do the very best, the very, very best they can to smooth the way for you. God bless, I pray, the faithful few, and may their tribe increase. They must be very precious to the blessed Prince of Peace. Amen. We do our service unto the Lord. Our passage is set. If you go to chapter 9, verse 51, it says that Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. He is really at the high point of his ministry. Things are really kicking. He has just come off the hillside where 5,000 men and women and children were there, and they fed them and he ministered to them. They're seeing incredible numbers of people come and be healed and their lives being touched and changed. He sent the 12 out and they came back with an incredible report of what God was doing through their ministry. So, I mean, this thing is rolling at this time. And it's kind of amazing that it's at this point that Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem to fulfill his intention of coming into this world, and that was to die upon the cross. A man approached Jesus as he was walking along the road, and the man said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied to him, "Well, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Excuse me. The coughs are free. Another man said, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now this sounds hard. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." That doesn't align with a lot of our thinking or our concept. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. If the pairs went to different towns, understand that would be 36 towns that he was sending them out to go and minister and to set up ministry and prepare the way for him. So even though he set his face toward Jerusalem, his intention was toward there, he didn't stop in his ministry to Judea, he continued to move in that direction, but his focus was on going to the cross. It's in this context then that we find our scripture in verse number 2 of chapter 10. He told these 72 as he was sending them out, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. Go." The first thing that the Lord said is that the harvest is truly plentiful. A farmer can plant much seed and it can grow and flourish, but there comes a time where he's got to go into the field and harvest it if the full intention of that crop is to be realized. You know, some years ago, as I was pastoring up in Lafayette near that other school, the black and gold one, we were right on the edge of Benton County in some of the richest farmland in all of the state of Indiana. And the farmers up there, they would farm 3, 4, 5, 10,000 acres of ground. I mean, they huge, huge farms. We had some of them in the church. I remember a situation where a farmer put out about 4,000 acres of beans and corn. And it was a blessed year. I mean, the crops just came in and the price of grain was high. It was a farmer's year. And in late September, as they were preparing to go into the fields, this farmer dropped over dead. Just fell over dead. And here's his wife with 4,000 plus acres of corn and beans that was sitting there ready for harvest, but no husband to go into the field and harvest the grain. I remember as the farmers in our church yielded to this as well, they got together, and before any of them went into their own fields, they all took their equipment and went to this lady's farm and harvested all of the corn and all of the beans and took it to the co-op, wherever they take the stuff. I just gave you all of my farm knowledge. I know it wasn't the grocery store. There's a couple stops before it hits there. Nevertheless, you know, they stepped in. This is what Jesus was saying. The harvest is truly plentiful. Just with that lady, you know, you can imagine the grief that she felt of the loss of her husband, but then standing there in their home, sitting in the middle of all of these thousands of acres of crops, a bumper crop. But what does she do? How does she do it? I believe that lady prayed to the Lord of the harvest. And those beautiful neighbors that stepped in and ministered to her. As I mentioned to you before, people were coming to Jesus in unbelievable numbers. If he would have been set up as a church, it would have been the fastest growing church anywhere. Because people were flocking in at this point. Coming in, being healed, accepting the kingdom of God by just thousands. So when Jesus is sending out the 72, he can see the vast numbers of people that were wanting to hear the message. Today, we're living in another great time of harvest. Sitting here, it's somewhat of an illusion because Europe and the United States, in this great time of revival that the world is experiencing, the United States and Europe are not at the forefront. So we who believe that everything evolves around us may miss this. In Asia, Africa, and South America, and my time won't permit me to give you all of these, but let me give you a couple of things. In Africa alone, there were in 1900, there were 9 million Christians. Now there are 541 million. In the last 15 years, there are 33,000 people per day becoming Christian in Africa. 33,000 a day. South America can even beat that in terms of the number of people that are turning to the Lord. In the 90s and the early 2000s, especially South America, the winds of the Holy Spirit were sweeping like never before. Look on the fields. They're ripe unto harvest. Truly, the harvest is plentiful. The second thing that he mentions is the workers are few. As in the previous verses in verse 57 to 62 of chapter 9, Jesus was struggling to get workers who would take the message forward. It was easy to get people to come and be healed, easy to get them to come and acknowledge the kingdom. It was hard for them to stand up and become a laborer in the kingdom of God. Remember, out of the thousands that Jesus ministered to who acknowledged the kingdom from him, only 120 were found in the upper room on the day of Pentecost to prepare themselves with the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and do witness. Our Bible schools right now here in America are reporting a decrease. Some are questioning whether they're going to be able to stay open. Fewer and fewer of those that are signing up for Bible college are desiring to be pastors. They want a staff position. They want to know how much can they make. Here in the state of Indiana, just in the last 5+ years, they've closed, I know of at least 10 churches in small towns that have closed. The main reason in talking with the district superintendent is nobody wants to go there and preach. Nobody wants to go there and pastor a small group of people. They would rather go to the large cities, take an assistant position so that they can earn money. Workers are few. Every fellowship and denomination is facing the same thing. From the Catholics, who are having difficulty finding priests, and nuns, who are willing to commit their lives to the Lord, to Pentecostals. I don't say that bragging. I say that because I want you to know that this scripture is relevant today. The workers are few. You know, I think it's, I debated on whether to mention this, but I think it's important just to give us a concept of where we're at today in the church. Of our members, those who have signed a card saying that they will be consistent and persistent in their attendance and in their giving to make the church happen, over half are gone more than 12 Sundays a year. You know, faithfulness today means something completely different than faithfulness used to mean. You know, there was a day where someone who was in Heather's position working with our children would have a Sunday school teacher of a certain class, and they would commit themselves to that class, and out of 52 weeks, maybe gone 2 or 3 weeks when they were on vacation, and beyond that, they ministered to them. Now we have to have 3 and 4 individuals for each individual class because of everyone's need for free time. I don't say that to be critical. I don't say that to scold. I just want you to understand this morning, the workers are few. So the Lord says, do one thing. And this is kind of an amazing thing. He doesn't say to the 72 as he's sending them out, and he doesn't say this to us. He does not say, pray for the lost. He doesn't say, Pray for the town that you're getting ready to go to. It's kind of a scratch your head sort of a thing in a way. It's like, really? He doesn't say, I want you to spend time fasting and praying over the place that you're going to go minister. He tells them and he tells us, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. What he was saying in that moment is that there are more people that want to come to know Jesus than there are people who want to go tell them about Jesus. Can you imagine in the Lord's heart, knowing his face was set toward Jerusalem, he was going there to give his all, his everything, that it would be his prayer request to his flock, to his laborers, pray that your number would increase because the harvest is great. There are people right now who need Jesus. There are people who are just waiting for somebody to come in the love and in the power of the Holy Spirit to knock on their door, to bump up against them and tell them that there is an answer to the hopeless and helpless situation that they are in their lives. They're standing grain, ready to be harvested. Some even know that there's more, there's something more to life than what they have. The Holy Spirit has created that hunger inside of them, and they're longing, they're desiring that someone would tell them the answer. And they're watching people's lives and looking for somebody that really has hope in them that they can reach out to. I believe Jesus' prayer is still relevant today. Prayer to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. You saw all the laborers that we have, and we couldn't do this without you. Don't you feel in the least bit this morning that I'm scolding or taking anything away from the laborers that you are putting forth? Bless you, bless you, bless you. If it's one Sunday out of four that you are teaching, bless you. Thank you for standing with us to proclaim the gospel message. But the harvest is truly plentiful. There's standing grain in the fields. You know, when I see Heather rubbing her face, I don't even have to ask what it's over. It's that she has a group of kids that are going to be in Sunday school next week who don't have a teacher. Sometimes at the midnight hour, sometimes early on Sunday morning, where individuals have called due to sickness or due to this or due to that, they're not going to be able to come and be there. And many a Sunday, she goes back and takes one of those classes herself. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful. We've got beautiful kids. Wonderful kids. But the laborers are few. We pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Even this morning, as we thank all of our volunteers, the point is this: there's still room for you. There's still a place for you. And you may say, oh, but I can't. I'm not. None of us are. None of us are. You can go to any one of the Sunday school teachers or any of the workers and ask them, do you feel adequate for the task that you're doing? And their head will shake off their shoulders as they're letting you know, absolutely not. Every service, every moment, praying, God, give me the words, give me the strength to be able to do the work that you've called me to do. So, if it's training you need, there's training to be had. We pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Amen. I would like for you to stand with me, please, as we conclude this service this morning. And we're going to be obedient to the Lord in how we pray. Holy Spirit just placed in my mind Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah finds himself in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord lays out before him an incredible scene, an incredible need that exists. And then the Lord says, who will go? Who will I send? And Isaiah said, what? Here am I. Send me. As we pray this morning, maybe that will be your heart. I'm not going to ask you to come here to the altar. Of course, you're always welcome here at this altar for any reason. But you heard and you saw different leaders of these different groups this morning. If you're wanting to say, here I am, send me, then seek out one of them. Even before you leave this morning, say, hey, I don't know how I can be used, but I know that the Lord's wanting me to be used. So here am I. Send me. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray in obedience to the Lord? How many are? Are you ready? What did he say? Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. The harvest is truly ripe all around us, but the laborers are few. Come on. Help me pray right now. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your precious word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as you walked among us here on this earth, that you were so infectious. Your word and your life and your love spread, and scores of people were ready to come into your kingdom. And as you sent forth laborers, the prayer that was upon your lips and the prayer that you admonished them to pray was that they would seek the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. And so this morning we pray, God, that you would send laborers, that you would raise up new laborers out of this church family. 150 out of 455. Are currently serving you. Oh God, we could do better. We could do more. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in the precious moments, in the quiet moments of these folks' lives, and that they would find themselves like Isaiah, exposed in your presence. God, help them first of all to see the need, that they would realize there are multitudes waiting. There are children waiting, wanting somebody to tell them about Jesus. There are individuals who are hungry today, and they're coming in among us and wanting to be fed. Help us, O Lord, to be like Isaiah and lift our hand and say, here am I, send me. Let me be the one in this last hour of time. Let me be the one. Little as I may be able to give, I give out of my love and relationship of Jesus. And oh God, even over this next year, may we see this force of volunteers that you have brought together, beautiful, wonderful, glorious people, hard workers. I thank you for each of them. But I pray that you would add to our number, that we would be able to touch more and more and more, that we'd be able to harvest from our community. There are hundreds sitting right around us who are lost this morning, tucked away in their homes and hurting desperately. And we have room for them. We have a chair for them to sit in. And we pray, Lord, that you would send harvesters into the harvest fields to bring them the gospel. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor of preaching and ministering your word. Thank you. that you let us be a part of what you're doing eternally in this world. Now, Lord, as we go forth from this house, I pray that your presence, your blessings, your strength, your healing would be upon each and every individual and each and every home. May we know, God, that we belong to you. Hallelujah. We accept from you right now the blessings and the strength to do another week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.